good afternoon. Let's pray. Let's pray the chaplet of divine mercy. Let's pray for you, for every intention that you have. Let's today pray for our country, for our elected officials, for Congress, for the Supreme Court, for our presidents, for those who are running, for global affairs, that peace may reign. We'll lift those intentions, bring them before the Lord. I just can't imagine how beautiful it must be to have so many souls coming together and petitioning God for peace, for conversion, for those types of things. I know God's heart is moved. You can join me a couple ways today. You can get in on the phones, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Maggie is on our X account. You can send her a post at Drew Mariani Show. That's at Drew Mariani Show. You can always leave those intentions too at Facebook or on YouTube. If you're following us on our relevant radio platforms or on the Drew Mariani Show page, she'll put her eyes on them and we'll pray and bring them to everyone's attention coming up in just a moment here. I was thinking about how hard it is. I was reading this prayer intention right before the show started, and this person wrote to me and they said, could you please pray for a school bus accident? You pray for the families who lost family members in a school bus and a semi-truck accident yesterday in a small town in Rushville, Illinois. 5 people died, the semi-driver, the bus driver, and 3 children, 1 aged 5 and 2 aged 3. I mean, what a tragedy. I want to pray for those families. I say it every day, you don't know the day or the hour. And maybe you're in a situation right now where you feel the weight of the world being too heavy to bear. Maybe you've lost somebody you love. Maybe you are struggling with health. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe you feel unheard. I just want to remind you that there is a strength available to you that transcends all understandings. In these moments of difficulty, in these moments of vulnerability, you are called to turn your heart, to open your heart, to petition the Lord with faith and with trust. Remember the Lord, he said, ask and it will be given unto you, right? Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. That's Matthew 7:7. You know, those aren't words on a page. They're a promise. And when the Lord makes a promise, whether it is in scripture, whether it's through the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I stand on it. That's a promise that Jesus Christ made. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. It's a guarantee the Lord's going to come to your aid in time of need, that he listens, that he cares, right? That he will respond. So I know it's easy to get discouraged. I know it's easy to want immediate answers. But let me just leave you one final thought here. The Lord answers every one of your prayers. I guarantee it. Oh, that's not true, Drew. I've been praying for this for a long time, and the Lord hasn't answered my prayer. The Lord answers every one of your prayers. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's a quick yes, you know. Sometimes it's wait. It's not your time. There are better things in store. And sometimes it's a loving no. But every answer is given with the same unfathomable love. God loves you immeasurably. So let's pray today, right? Let's stand on the words of Padre Pio, who said, hey, you pray, you hope, and don't worry, because worry is useless. God is merciful. God hears your prayers. And I'm expecting miracles today, right? It's that act of faith that really acknowledges your trust in the Lord, you know, that he hears you, that mountains can move. And I'm going to pray that those mountains in your life do move right now. I'm praying with my colleague, Maggie. It's always good to have her with us today. Maggie, anything you want to pray for or lift up as we start?
Yeah, you know, Drew, we got a message in our X inbox that I want to lift up. Nancy wrote to us. She said, please pray for my granddaughter who has special needs. She thinks that she's a failure at age 13. Wow.
13.
And somehow in her head, she thinks that she should just kill herself. She says, I believe in my heart that this would never happen. And I've asked God and Jesus to keep her safe. And I've asked Mother Mary to be my intercession, asking for God's help and Jesus's help. I would ask for you and the Divine Chaplet Warriors to please pray for her and for her brother. 13 years old.
Yeah, we're going to pray right now. I mean, Maggie, that's terrible. You know, there's the suicide prevention hotline. Make sure that's on the ready. If she's threatening harm, take it very seriously. And we're going to do what we can do on this side, and let's pray. 13 years old. The suicide rates for the young have gone through the roof, as you and I have talked about many times.
It just makes me feel like maybe that was put in her head by a bully. You know, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, you know, I was having a conversation earlier with our other producer, Tom, and you know, we were talking about this very issue. And there are people out there on social media that would encourage you to do that. I often shared the story of a young man I knew who was depressed, and he went onto one of these chat platforms and asked, you know, I don't want to live. And people are saying, well, dress in black and stand in a freeway in the middle of the night. I mean, they were telling him, I shouldn't even be saying things. I'm not going to, forgive me for saying that. I won't go through the litany of things they told this guy to do, right? Thank God he is okay today, right? If he would have listened to those things, who knows? It's like the girl who was arrested and stood trial for telling her boyfriend to go ahead and not to get out of the car when he was attempting to kill himself. Take the phones away. Make sure you know what's on those social media platforms. If there's somebody bullying, get to the heart of it. But let's pray right now. Whatever the impetus for this is, comes to light, and that God in his mercy will bring some healing to this girl. And I want to pray for you right now. We'll begin our chaplet as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Anne. She's praying with us in Binghamton, New York. Hey, Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Drew and Maggie. I am calling for a miracle.
All right.
A big one. My dear friend Glenda is the sister I never had. She is so good. But she grew up in a scientific family and just can't even imagine that there is a God. Her mind is closed, and she thinks I'm gullible. And we don't really talk about it. And I have prayed my heart out for her. So now I am asking your army of chaplet prayers, which I pray with every day, to help me ask the Lord to show himself to her in some way that she will believe. And that's it.
Well, I am grateful for your call. And I think you are a wonderful friend. And the soul is very lucky to have you in their life. Let me just say that up front. I believe this is a prayer that will be heard. I do. Because I believe that the Lord, when he makes a promise, he stands on it. And he says, anything you ask in virtue of my passion will be granted if it's according to my will. And I know that this is according to his will. He says, encourage souls to pray the chapel which I have given to you. He said that St. Faustina, because it pleases me to grant everything that they ask by saying this prayer. The Lord also spoke about conversion. He often said sometimes the grace of conversion is purchased by sacrifice. I know heaven was, you know, purchased by our Lord's sacrifice for us, but in addition to your prayers, maybe small sacrifices for your friend. But the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to God's mercy. Lord, I right now place this soul into your hands, and I just ask that you reward in a particular way Anne for her charity, her generosity, and her mercy. And I pray for those that we love who don't know you or who have strayed from you or who have rejected you, Lord, that are living sinful lives. I pray right now, united with all who are praying with me, for the grace of conversion to reach those souls that we love. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Deb is praying with us. She is in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. Hey, Deb, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And thank you for just being there. You and Mag, you're doing a great job.
Thank you for that. That's kind.
I wanted to call and ask for prayer for anxiety and depression, but I'm also getting bad migraines, and I'm also having problems with my ears and don't know what's going on yet. So I wanted prayer for a complete healing of all this.
All right. Well, let's lift it up right now. Let's call upon St. Faustina for you too, for the healing of migraines, ear problems. I know how debilitating those migraines can be. I mean, they really are quite crippling. My grandmother used to suffer with those. You know, St. Faustina wrote in her diary that her mission would continue after her death, and that she would not forget us. And the Lord told her that he would give her this privilege to distribute these graces to those who asked for her intercession. So let's call upon her right now to go before the throne of God for healing for you. Lord, I pray again for conversion. I pray for those with migraines. I want to pray right now, Lord, for those who are in chronic pain, those especially who are having ear or tooth problems, Lord, where that pain can be just crippling. And I just lift up Debbie and all these intentions. I give you the body with its aches and pains. I give you the heart with its pains, Lord. So many with broken hearts. And I ask that you heal as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to Gerard, who's praying with us in Phoenix, Arizona, let me invite Maggie back to voice some of your intentions. I know many of you have been posting them on Facebook and on YouTube and on our X account. Please continue to do that. Send me your answer prayers, though, if you could. If you get an answer prayer, if God works in a miraculous way, the pain disappears, the financial blessing comes your way, whatever it is you're asking God for, email me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's drew@relevantradio.com. And I'd love to share those as well. Maggie, what's coming in?
Antonella wrote to us on X, Drew. She said, I'm so sad. I pray and I pray, but God seems to have abandoned me. You were just talking about this in your intro. She says, from family arguments to my husband living with his girlfriend who says that she's Christian, we have 7 kids, 12 grandchildren. And at this point, even my family is against us being together. I'm so alone and I feel so tired. Please pray. Kara from Illinois wrote to us and said, please remember me during Divine Mercy. I pray it several times a week. I'm fighting off different battles. Also, prayer for my sister-in-law who has breast cancer, my brother who has medical issues, my many friends and family that do as well. Jesus, I trust in you for a big miracle. Alana wrote to us and said, please pray for a dear friend's 9-month-old daughter who's in the hospital with aspiration pneumonia due to a rare medical condition. Jean wrote to us and said, please continue to pray for 36-year-old Eric, who is battling an aggressive cancer, and he's been having tough complications this week. Wow. We claim complete earthly healing in Jesus' name, aka holding out a huge cup, as Drew says.
Amen.
And lastly, Drew, this one just... just totally touched my heart. This is from our friend Mo Flo on X. She says, I just love the Drew crew. Will you please add my little one who turns 9 years young on St. Patrick's Day? He doesn't have many friends at his Catholic school because, well, we spend our time praying instead of playing video games and TikTok. He really wants a party with friends on this Sunday.
That's a heartbreak, huh?
Oh, that's so, so sweet. Sad. God send him some good playmates.
Yeah, Maggie often has these short little prayers like that, those one sentence, and we see them answered all the time, mm-hmm. right? And that's a great prayer. We'll pray for a great party and for great blessings. I want to pray for one other intention that came in the other day. A person wrote to me, Pat, thank you for writing. She says, I found it yesterday. My sister Joan is doing drugs. And that's tough when you find out somebody you love maybe going down a pathway that can just lead to absolute destruction. So she's praying that God will instill this desire to quit and to get the help that she needs. I want to pray for anyone battling addiction. I know you may have loved ones with alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sexual addictions, who knows what kind of addictions they're dealing with. So I just want to ask God to break those chains today. And we'll continue to pray for conversion and for deliverance. And we'll take our call from Arizona. It's good to have Gerard joining us. Gerard, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. I'm hoping today that we can pray for my son-in-law, who's got throat cancer. He's at the clinic in Phoenix today, getting ready. He was getting ready to go through one of his last radiation treatments and is one of his close to the end of his chemotherapy treatments, and he's said I had a setback today with some internal bleeding, yeah. and they've not been able to get that under control yet. So,
well, I am so sorry.
Finish up some of his treatments, and so praying to Saint Faustina, Saint Jude, and Saint Peregrine for
Amen.
Help, and we need them to intercede for us and help him with this throat cancer and the pain that the radiation causes from the second-degree burns that he suffers in his neck.
Your poor daughter. My heart goes out to your whole family. I can't imagine what the whole family is enduring. You know, add St. Blaise to the mix. He's the patron saint of those with throat problems. So, but let's pray for you
pray
right
to
now.
Him every day too.
And your namesake too, another powerhouse saint. So, we'll pray right now, Lord. I give you this, Father. I pray for his son-in-law, Gavin. I pray for all those in the battle with cancer. And in particular for their loved ones who suffer in their own way. They carry their own crosses. I pray against this scourge, this wretched disease, Lord, of our day. And I ask you to bring healing as we join together now and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Brooke. She's praying in San Jose, California. Hi, Brooke. Good afternoon. I'm sorry.
Paul, Drew, and Maggie. Thank you. I'm praying today for my daughters. My oldest daughter is 13 and has been through a lot, depression and anxiety. And my other two daughters are 12-year-old twins, and they are so depressed, and they don't go to school. I can't get them to go. And my 13-year-old daughter wants to be a boy.
Oh, boy.
And very much like arguing with me and wanting the hormone treatments and all of this stuff. And it's so, so heartbreaking. And I just keep telling her that, you know, this is a confusing time. They've been through domestic violence and all kinds of abuse in my marriage that I'm not in any longer. But I just pray for the Lord to tell her she's beautiful as she is and that nothing's so impossible with our Jesus. And very, very, very sad, but I do believe in him with all my heart and soul. And well, I just need prayers.
Brooke, you're not alone. We're going to pray for you, okay? We're with you.
Thank you.
You know, would your daughter go to adoration with you? Just sit there, you know, and spend some time? Maybe the Lord's mercy will pierce
that heart. Won't. I know. They won't go to church with me, but I'm praying all the time, all the time, the rosary in front of them. And I'm hoping that that mustard seed will plant.
Well, look, you're the mother. You've got authority. They're only 13 right now. Your one daughter, right? So you make sure she doesn't make any bad decisions, right? We're going to pray for you right now for sure. Maggie, what's the website of Walt Heyer? My sexual, what's that?
Sex Change Regret.
Sexchangeregret.com. Yeah. Check out that website too. It might be a good help for you, okay? But Brooke, I'm going to pray for you now. My heart goes out to you. I'm glad I never had to, you know, face these challenges, and it's so hard. Lord, I just pray that her daughter, 13 years old, can see the beauty and the dignity in her creation and the great mission that you have created her for. I want to pray for Brooke and all of the intentions she just voiced. I want to pray for other parents going through similar situations. And I ask you, enter into the family now, Lord, where there is dysfunction, where there's disorder, where there's woundedness, where there's hurt, and bring your healing. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Juan is praying in Chicago. Juan, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, Juan.
Yes, asking for prayers for myself because I had a good job last fall and they had cutbacks and I lost it. And I'm working right now part-time, but, you know, just making ends meet and looking for something more that, you know, provides better for savings and emergencies. But also for my family and specifically my brother, we lost my parents a number of years ago. They didn't have a will and unfortunately he's taken advantage of that. And in seeking ways to like really hurt me, he stopped paying on a loan from a private lender for student loans, and his lender is now coming after me, and you know, it's for quite a significant amount of money, and I'm really, what I want more than anything is his conversion, for his soul, for his life, his wife. He may be a doctor, but he's just not living a good Christian life.
Well, you're a good brother, Juan, and let's pray that this gets remedied. Lord, I pray right now in particular for Juan, and I ask you to open new doors for him, new opportunities that reward him in ways that he never even expected, both financially, but just in terms of fulfillment. And allow that to happen soon, Lord. We pray where there's division within the family, for peace, for reconciliation, for justice. And Lord, I give to you every one of Juan's intentions. We pray for conversion. What a beautiful prayer. I just want conversion, right? I just want conversion. I know the Lord hears that prayer, Juan. And Lord, I pray that prayer along with you for all those that I love and for all those now united with me. Lord, hear the cries of your children as we unite together, invoking your great and unfathomable mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Blaise,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Send us your petitions. Send us your answered prayers. And stay with me. When we come back, I'm going to share with you an email that I think is important for a lot of people to hear. Don't go away.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, join Father Rocky this September for a pilgrimage to Poland and Prague. You'll visit the lands of St. John Paul the Great, St. Faustina, Our Lady of Częstochowa, and the Infant Child of Prague. Seats are limited. Information at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
You never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Your Life Connected, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. I want to share with you an email I came in. And Jennifer in Minneapolis, if you're listening to me, I hope you're tuned in. I'm going to send you a quick email to let you know that I was going to address this email. This is an email that I received that I think affects just about every family. How do you handle situations with kindness and integrity? How do you speak truth about immoral situations? And the other question that I'm going to raise to him, I'll ask Dr. John Grabowski when he stops by, is it our duty to do that? What about invincible ignorance? Is it better to maybe let somebody, I mean, not speak that to them at this particular point? And I'll make a case for it. I'll explain what I mean by that. Let me first show you, and I'll share the email. We just got done praying the chaplet, and one of the spiritual works of mercy, we talk a lot about mercy. One of the spiritual works of mercy is to admonish sinners, right? You're called to do that. Of course, we got to start with ourselves. If you want to be merciful to others, you know, we want the best for them. That means, you know, repenting of their sins so they can go to heaven. You don't want anyone that you love or even your enemy to go to hell. Of course, the biggest obstacle to carrying out the work of mercy is how do you do it? Do you walk up to somebody or at a party or at a meeting or at the office and you know they're dealing with something that's immoral? Do you call them out on it? How do you do that? Do you rattle your rosary beads in their face, tell them the person's going to go to hell if they don't convert? No, right? So I received this email from a woman who found herself in a very difficult situation. I'll share it with you, and then maybe you've gone through something similar. Maybe you want to share your own experience or your advice. Dr. John Grabowski will be here with us today, too. Let me share with you what she said. She says, as a devout Catholic, I often find myself in delicate situations, especially when friends share news that seem to, well, conflict with our faith's teaching. A close friend of mine frequently mentions her daughter living with her boyfriend, a topic she approaches, you know, without discussing its moral implications according to our beliefs. I mean, recently after Mass, she joyfully announced that her daughter got married in a chapel in Las Vegas, styled after Elvis. So I struggle to mirror her enthusiasm, feeling somewhat disingenuous and conflicted. I'm grappling with how to respond to similar announcements from fellow Catholics regarding their children. On one hand, demonstrating support is important to me, but on the other, I worry that it might be perceived as condoning actions contrary to our shared beliefs, and I'm conscious that showing judgment, it could cause hurt, it could create an additional layer of complexity. Ultimately, I'm reminded that perhaps these matters are not mine to judge. So that was her email. I bet you find yourself in the same situation, right? Do you speak to that family member, extended family member, about their immoral lifestyle? What about your friends who are talking about, you know, who are Catholic, and they're saying, oh, we're going to get married on the beach, or whatever the situation may be, or like this case, a woman coming out of church saying her daughter got married in an Elvis chapel in Vegas. She was jubilant about it. It's something that just about, I think, everyone who's serious about living their faith is going to face. In past times, prophets were pretty direct about the sins of people, and they were committing them. They called them out. Today, I think we've lost that, and I do think there's a nuance. There's a delicate balance to that. But I think we're so afraid of offending somebody. We're so challenged to be tolerant that we tolerate something that should not be tolerated, right? And above all, if you truly love somebody, I think you're gonna find a way to speak truth to them. Truth can convert. Truth pierces the heart. Truth ultimately saves. I'm joined today by a professor of moral theology and ethics at the Catholic University of America. Dr. John Grabowski's back. He and his wife, Claire, they've served the USCCB, Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Francis, as experts in the area of marriage and family, and we thought he'd be the perfect person to talk to today. You can check out his book, Unraveling Gender, too. That's available at TAN if you want to dive into that, but it's great to be able to tap into his expertise. Doctor, thanks for joining me today. Good afternoon.
Great to be with you again, Drew.
Tough email, huh? It's a tough question. A lot of people find themselves in these challenging situations. What do you say to an acquaintance or to a friend who celebrates something that you know perhaps is wrong or even immoral? I'll let you respond to the email. I'll follow up with something somebody else said to me earlier today when I was telling what we were going to talk about, but give me your take on that.
Sure. And as you said, there's a lot of layers and a lot of issues in that email. I think overall, the key is trying to find a way, if I can take a line from one of Pope Benedict's documents, to always try to balance charity and truth.
Yes.
Right? So we want to show charity. We want to love others. But our charity has to be grounded in truth, or it's not genuine charity. And prudence is the key virtue that helps us see, how can I respond both charitably and truthfully to this person in this situation? Now, the young couple who's living together, who then goes to the Vegas chapel, dedicated to the wrong king, I guess, in order to get married, you know, if there's a nuance here, because if the young couple are both Catholics, then in the eyes of the Catholic Church, that's not a wedding, that's not a marriage, because Catholics are bound by the Catholic requirements of form to get married in front of a member of the Catholic clergy and other witnesses, typically in a church, unless you receive dispensation. Now, if these are two Protestant Christians, both baptized, and they get married in front of a justice of the peace in a Vegas chapel, well, actually, the Catholic Church says that's a sacramental marriage. So that actually is a good thing. Because in this case, the couple is no longer living in sin together. They've actually married one another. So I'm assuming from the email, we're probably talking about a Catholic, young Catholics who don't understand the church's vision of marriage. How do we draw the line between saying something is morally bad without being judgmental and judging others in the way that Jesus tells us not to in the Gospels? Well, we have to make a distinction between, I can look at someone else's act, a couple living together outside of marriage, and I can say that's morally bad. In fact, it's gravely wrong. What I can't do is say, and therefore they're guilty of mortal sin and going to hell unless they repent, because I can judge the goodness or badness of actions, my own and others. I can't judge the culpability of others. I can't judge how much they understand what they're doing and how free they are in choosing it. And the church's teaching is, for there to be mortal sin, there has to be grave matter, sufficient reflection, and full consent of the will. Those last two things I can't judge. God can judge other people's minds and hearts. I can't, but I can look at others' actions and say, no, that's a morally bad act. I need to pray for that person. How do you respond with charity and truth to the friend outside of church who says, hey, my child just got married in this Vegas chapel, assuming that they're Catholic? I would say that's an opportunity, especially if there's, you know, this isn't just a casual acquaintance, but actually a friend, to say, well, you know, maybe that's a good step for them. But you should really encourage them to think about getting that union convalidated in the church so that they can really experience the grace of the sacrament, which is the key. Yeah. So you don't have to say, well, that's not a marriage, Therefore they're still living in sin. But you can say, you know what, maybe that's a step, but there's so much more if they take another step.
So I've got to take a short pause here, Doctor. So stay with me. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about it. And if you want to get in, I only have a short time with Dr. Grabowski today. Maybe you're facing an upcoming wedding and you're torn over what to do. Maybe you have loved ones living in a lifestyle that you need to speak truth to, but it's difficult. We'll talk a little bit more about some of those strategies. I heard one person talk about invincible ignorance. One person says, I'd rather pray for them. I don't feel qualified to go ahead and be able to really defend the church's position on this. And I don't want their soul to go to hell, doctor. So, you know, in that case, I may not say anything and just pray that God will put somebody in their life. We could talk about that as well. I don't know whether that's a cop-out or it's actually a good strategy, a merciful one. But we'll dive into this and a whole lot more when I return. Hey, today we'd like to thank Tammy, who was listening in Florida, for donating her 2016 BMW Z4. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
And so the church, by saying you need to get married in the church, it's one way of trying to draw that straying sheep home again. And so I think the church is wise to do this, especially in a time when there's just so much apathy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
If you're just joining me, I was sharing an email in the last segment from a listener who was coming out of church. A friend, a Catholic, was euphoric over the marriage of her daughter in an Elvis chapel in Vegas. And this particular listener wanted to speak truth to her, but kind of, you know, celebrated, but felt a little disingenuous as a result of it, and raised the question, what do you do? That's just one example. What do you do when somebody is, you know, when their eternal soul can be really in jeopardy? They may be aware, they may not be aware. Do you speak truth to that person or you don't? I was having a conversation in my studio earlier with one of my colleagues, and he says, you know what? I asked him, I said, what would you do in this situation? And he says, honestly, I don't think I'd say anything. You know, I don't know if I feel qualified to go ahead and to really engage in that exchange with that. I don't, maybe I'm not the right person. I don't know if he said qualified. He said, maybe I'm not the right person to engage in that. And he says, you know, yeah, I get this whole concept of invincible ignorance. It's a theological concept where the Catholic Church refers to the state of being unaware of the truth, right? Specifically truths that are necessary for salvation through no fault of your own. And it implies that a person can't be held morally responsible for not knowing the truth in a reasonable way. So he said to me, well, you know, what about invincible ignorance? If they don't know, I can just pray for them. That's what I could do and hope that somebody else can set them on the right path. And I thought, well, I never thought of that in a million years. It's kind of a good point, but is it the right thing to do? I'm joined by Dr. John Grabowski today. And Doctor, let's pick up on that point, and then we'll take a few phone calls. It's a challenge to a lot of people to speak truth. They want to be accepted. They don't want to come off ignorant or intolerant or unaccepting in today's culture. And you could be at work, at home, the gym, wherever you are. You may have opportunities to evangelize and bring truth in Christ, even though you don't know the scripture quote or the catechism teaching. Do you do that, or do you pray for the person and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for your grace to prevail? How do you break that down?
Yeah. I think some of this is prudential judgment, Drew, right? How can I show charity toward this person, but a charity that's grounded in truth? You mentioned, and I think the email mentioned, you know, admonishing the sinner is one of the spiritual works of mercy, but so is instructing the ignorant, right? So if someone is in ignorance and I have the opportunity, and I know even just a little bit more than they do, and I have the opportunity to share that because of our relationship, well, if I share that, what I know, that's a work of mercy for that person, right? And maybe I know a little bit more, but I don't know enough. Yeah. So then I say, you know what? I don't fully understand, but I know the church says this. Why don't we go and talk to our pastor and learn more about why the church says this, and walk with that other person so that you both learn together. So, yeah, invincible ignorance, yes, it's a concept used in Catholic moral theology. And basically it's, you know, if someone makes an erroneous judgment of conscience and follows that judgment, they're not culpable for their erroneous judgment of conscience, but their conscience doesn't grow because our conscience never grows when we do something that's objectively bad. Yeah. So I don't think it's the relevant concept here. And there are ways to accompany people toward a deeper understanding of the truth, even if I don't have all the answers.
That's well said. We'll take your calls. 888-914-9149. Rose is in Los Angeles, California. Rose, you're on the air with Dr. Grabowski. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I am listening quite intently at the conversation. I have a grandson that recently married a beautiful non-Catholic young woman. I am a practicing Catholic. I'm 84 years old, and I am personally, through the grace of God, aware of all of the consequences of this particular union. However, I chose not to intercede at this time when the wedding was announced. He got married in front of a justice of the peace. Yeah. My prayer, of course, I've always lifted up my grandchildren to the Blessed Mother and through the Divine Mercy chaplet. So what happened is that I realized that my grandson does not have a formation in the salvation through his Catholic faith that he's been baptized into. So there is a lot of formation that has been lacking. So I chose only prayer in that there will be moments that I will get to spend with him now that I live closer. I live so far away that I live closer, and God, the Holy Spirit, will give me those moments to share what the grace of God has given me about the consequences of his actions, and therefore I have the Spirit in some Amen. Form has said, no, not now.
Well, Rose, let me tell you, you're not alone. I can't tell you how many people I know whose children are being married by justices of the peace or by their friends, right? And it's a battle for a lot of people. I believe in speaking truth. If it's, let's say it was your child, or and there's somebody listening right now who's got an upcoming wedding. Speak the truth to that child, right? That's what you have to do. And doctor, let's pick it up. Rose chose not to say anything at this point in time. And I think she was just and fine in that, in her position there. You know, she is she's the grandmother in that situation, and she's going to pray. As for a parent, I think you have to speak truth. But at the same time, when it comes to that wedding, where do you stand on whether or not you attended or not? I'm of the ilk that, and I know people are very divided over this. Some people say, I will not attend it, even if it's my own child. And others say that they will because they want to show love and at least keep the bridge of communication open with that child. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, in Rose's case, I think, yeah, it's great to pray for your grandchild, and she still has the opportunity to, again, in an encouraging way, say, hey, you should really approach the church to have this marriage. You can just use the word blessed, right? You don't have to say convalidated. You don't have to say it's an invalid marriage. You can just say, have your church blessed so that you have the grace of the sacrament in this relationship. So you can put... in terms of attending weddings that are not really weddings, and it is a fraught situation. And I think this is where the virtue of prudence comes in, because I think there can be situations where if you don't attend, you're effectively burning the bridge and ending the relationship. Mm-hmm. But there can also be cases where if you attend, even if you give a bunch of caveats, people have the opportunity to interpret that as full and undivided support and will be scandalized by that. So you really have to look at the situation and pray and say, Lord, what's the way for me to show both charity, but a charity that's grounded in truth in this situation? And it's going to differ, I think, from case to case.
It is a tough situation for a lot of people. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Christina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a family member who is baptized Catholic, marrying her boyfriend of 5 years living together, also baptized Catholic. They are going to get married by an Episcopalian minister. Mm-hmm. The bride's father says, well, you know, if the Catholic priest won't marry my homosexual daughter when she's ready to get married, then I don't want him marrying the heterosexual daughter. So we've just been battling the past few days trying to figure something out.
All right, Doctor, I only have about a minute and a half for you. I hate to do that to you, but why don't you give us some final thoughts?
Sure. So just a little clarification. It's not the clergy person who marries the couple. In the Catholic understanding, it's the couple who marries each other, but the priest is a necessary witness on behalf of the church. So if these two Catholics are being married by an Episcopal clergy person and there's no dispensation from the local bishop, and there probably could not be, in the eyes of the church, it's not a valid marriage. So the key is pray. How can you show both charity and love to this these people, but also do it in a way that's grounded in truth?
Well said, Doctor. Thank you for your time. I really wish we did have more time to discuss this. We'll have to bring you back. Check out Dr. Grabowski's book, Unraveling Gender. It's available at Tan Publications. I'll be right back. Don't go away.